You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, Skalk, I think we ought to address a couple of corporate announcements that came out this morning. Prosus and Naspers, first of all. And I had a big chat with a chap that you know, but I won't mention his name, earlier on. And he was sort of, he said, okay, these results were expected. But he's questioning, not unfavorably, the path that the two companies are taking when it comes to home delivery. What do you think? You can look at the results first and then we'll go to home delivery.
Yeah, let's chat about the actual home delivery side. And I'm not going to specifically look at iFood. I'm not specifically going to aim it at a process. I'm going to look at home delivery per se
as a concept.
We had this morning in our morning meeting it popped up and it was mentioned and all these figures were brought up about Prosus and Naspers and I said let's just stop this for 1 second. Let's chat about home delivery.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing that I've actually found. We've often had this conversation when COVID broke out and we went into that first level 5 hard lockdown. You can't even stick your nose outside your window. The first things, it was quiet every day. It was just you start hearing the birds again. There was just nothing. We didn't even have load shedding back then. It was just quiet, and then you start hearing the first scooter and then the second scooter. And then,
really?
Do you hear
that noise of people already getting deliveries?
Yes, so it was 60-60, if I can recall. And, some people might now correct me, but I've actually found that the checkers were very quick out of the blocks in that one.
Mm.
And they have the 60-60. We know Mr. Delivery was very strong always on our neck of the woods in delivery food to compare it with iFood. But I'm talking about general, just delivering of food, delivering of groceries, delivering of cosmetics or your prescription medicine, those kind of things. And it slowly but surely became more and more. And the other morning I was sitting in traffic. And I actually counted way, way, way more of these scooters than I counted taxis. And that is, and I said, well, you can like it or leave it. But it's firstly, it's here to stay. And I think it's here to grow. That's the one thing that I can tell you, looking at South Africa and Brazil and Colombia is very much also a third world country. I know, a lot of people say, but what about Amazon? Amazon is a major success in the US. They still need to create the amount of success that they earned in the US, in the rest of Europe. But in South Africa, let's call it Brazil and Colombia, most probably the same, it's working. I can understand why they're doing it. It is way more convenient. We're going to chat about the inflation figures today, but I mean, you could just do your maths. I mean, you can either finish work, take your car, drive to the closest supermarket, do the shopping, or you drive straight home. You save the petrol, you save the time, you save the energy, and you order these.
So how do they make money, Skalk? I mean, you're saying I was talking to my previous interviewee, and he says it's much cheaper for me to actually just order it and get it delivered. And it was an Uber facility that I don't have in the Netherlands. It was something where Uber delivers stuff to you. And he says it's cheaper for me, time wise and money wise, to get Uber to deliver this thing for me than it is for me to drive across town and get it myself. How do they make money? Wafer thin margins. And again, that's a point I've been bringing up recently. Can you answer me that question?
No. I mean, you've got it 100% right. I think the margin is always going to be thin. But the one advantage they've got is, when gas prices go up or petrol prices go up, they tend to just hand this over to the consumer. So it's If you've got the market being thin as it is, it doesn't matter. You've got the turnover, and that's kind of what a lot of the business models you've mentioned. Uber, you've mentioned Uber Eats. I've mentioned Mr. Delivery. I mean, Mr. Delivery has been around as long as I can remember. I mean,
yes.
So it's clearly, you know, it's a business model where they need to look at their profit margins. It will always be thin, but I mean, if you've got the volume and clearly counting scooters, looking at that scooter market, or let's call it food and grocery delivery market, it's definitely growing, and eventually the profits will follow.
I fear for those chaps and those young boys and girls that ride those scooters. And they have to zip from one place to the other because time is money for them. They've got another one waiting about 2 km away or something like that. And they, especially in winter, they must be, well, it's not winter there now, but they must be under huge pressure. And, you know, safety is a factor. I hope they're covered well by, or their families are, by insurance from these delivery companies. I hope they're not being abused like Qatar construction workers, for example. Let me not bring up football now. But you know what I mean? It's a business. From my point of view, my jury is out on this one.
Yeah, I think that's I totally agree. I can't disagree. I don't know what the circumstances look like. I mean, and all the companies they work for, but I can't create more. But I think that's a bigger issue. I mean, that's not just a scooter issue. I mean, you currently stay in the Netherlands, where I mean, if you get on a bicycle. I mean, you're there. Yeah, firstly, it's exercise. It is so safe. You stop at a stop street and there's a car. The car will always wait until you pass. So
there's
bicycle lanes. I think, you know, not to say we need to all go on bicycles, but I think something, you know, what the past 2 days has taught me about these taxi strikes we had is we need to do more. You know, it would be do more for the environment, do more for overhead, that we can create an environment, and not just in South Africa, but globally, where we're more focused on these, you know, more inexpensive type of means of transport, you know, scooters, you know, bicycles, and those kind of things. And that would create a safe environment for these, it's called food delivery people as well. As it currently stands, you know, it's, you know, yeah, you're right, it's not safe.
No, it's not safe. I wouldn't ride a bicycle in the United Kingdom or South Africa, I have to say. Statistics tell you that you shouldn't be doing so. Anyway, let's not get into that now. Let's talk about other things, because we had Naspers and Prosus coming out. The Grindrod shipping story is an interesting one, because the last time I looked, it was down 23%. Please tell me about that, even though it may not be a company that you're invested in on behalf of your client, Skulk.
You know what? That's one company that I did not, you know, monitor at all. So I won't be even, you know, I can't even give you any feedback on Grindrod shipping.
You're the second person that said that, but that's okay because it's not on your radar. What about Telkom? Telkom must be something you watch, and I don't know if you're invested in it, but it is an important South African JSE Securities Exchange company, and you must have had a look at that one.
Yeah, I did. I mean, there's a lot of things in Telkom's results, you know, and I think let's start off with the first point, and that's the results itself. You know, they've guided well enough, and I think, you know, and when I say guide, they brought a trading statement on the 14th of November, which is a little bit more than a week ago, where they already said, you know, they expect that their earnings per share to decrease by 45 to 55%. So I don't think the actual results or the actual, you know, headline earnings per share that eventually came out, you know, to be down 51.9% just over 1.37 is much of a surprise. I mean, I've actually found that there's a lot of nuggets, you know, to me, you know, out there. JP Morgan, for instance, they brought out a report which I found very, very interesting. And they mentioned there that the headline earnings is 27% below our estimates. Now, we know they they didn't beat, you know, estimates. But, you know, when you look at these, let's call it 25 to 30% misses on headline earnings per share, that is significant. And then they mentioned further in the report, as a result of the significantly worse than expected first half HEPS, we expected consensus estimates to face downward risks. Now that you never want to see as an investor, because when consensus start, you know, adjusting their earnings downward, that is where you see the share price react. And I think that is one of the reasons why we've seen the share price drop 2.3%. Other things that I got, other results, and this is, you know, a lot more important, where they mentioned their costs. Now we will discuss, you know, in 2-3 minutes time, you know, the inflation figures that came out today. But yes, they mentioned that the direct cost increase. Well, surprise, surprise, we're all sitting in an inflation environment, so I don't think that is you know, a surprise. They said that it was driven mainly by the handset and equipment cost. Again, I don't think that is a huge you know, surprise. The one thing that stood out for me in this report, and we've said this, you know, I can take any South African company that reports over the past month or so, and you'll see this, and it's sort of golden thread come through in every single company. And I'm going to read this. While the rest of the operating costs were well managed, energy costs increased significantly due to the sustained load shedding during the period. This resulted in an increased cost base. Now, are we going to see this more and more if we don't get this load shedding under control? I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, we looked at, and now I'm going to get to the inflation part. Because
yeah, it's okay. Let's do that. Give me a chance to butt in here. Otherwise, I'll feel redundant. The October CPI inflation, a figure came out today, and it was 7.6%, which is under control. And I'll talk about the bigger inflation picture for the future later, but you go ahead with your inflation analysis, please.
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Lindsay, you mentioned the word under control, and that's my first point. So the first point that I want to, you know, make is, you know, when you look at the month on month, you know, I know 7.6 was a miss. I mean, they forecasted, you know, 7.3%, came out 7.6. So everybody's just, you know, big sigh and say, oh man, there goes the Reserve Bank. They will need to, you know, hike rates, you know, extensively. Come on, you know, 0.4%. This is now the third month in a row where inflation came out either 0.4 or below month on month growth. What that actually just means. So let's say for the next 11 months, we know we already 2 months where we did where we did 0.2 and 0.1% and now 0.4. But let's say for hypothetical purposes, we continue to do 0.4s every single month for the next 11 months. Our inflation in 11 months time will come out at 4.5%. That is well within the bands of, you know, the is a Reserve Bank, and that will just effectively mean that rates is not really a problem in a few months' time. Other thing that I got, and that's the most important one, and this is to string it back to not just Telkom, but all these companies that I just mentioned that's referring to load shedding, referring to this and referring to that. You know, when I look at a week ago, the consumer, the consumer data came out, or the retail data, not consumer, the retail data came out for South Africa, and that was a massive miss. They forecasted a 1% growth for the month, and it came out negative, you know, 1%. So that's not just a miss; that is a massive miss from being positive to negative. So when I look at this inflation figures, and I see, well, 0.4, and everybody's mentioning, oh well, that's going to put the ESA Reserve Bank in a very uncomfortable position. How uncomfortable do you want the ESA Reserve Bank to actually get, you know, further? While the retail figures are actually showing us that the consumer out there, you know, they're just barely surviving. They actually mention it in this. The main upward pressure came from prices of transport. You know, that's it. You know, when you got these you know, your petrol prices that we're currently, you know, experiencing, I mean, that's you know, that's the main problem. But I mean, it's not going to be a problem for much longer. I mean, the rand is trading much, much stronger. And hell, did you look at that oil price today?
That's going to be part of my input into the whole inflation thing, because oil's in a full blown bear market, and I'd It's going to have such an impact next year. Inflation's going to fall off a cliff unless there's some disastrous move in the Commodity Research Bureau index with other commodities. But oil is the big one, and inflation's coming down, and interest rates are coming down. It may be 6 months, but it doesn't matter. It's coming down. And you, as a fund manager, know that, and you're going to be positioning yourself on behalf of your clients to take advantage of that, I would think.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. We just, you know, from a PhD point of view, we just came out of a very extensive 2-day, you know, meeting on Thursday and Friday where we just discussed, you know, pretty much what you just said in one sentence. We discussed over 2 days, and you know, you really need to look ahead now. I mean, to all the listeners out there, be careful looking at this and saying, "Oh man, look at inflation. Inflation is still, you know, this and this and this, and interest rates are still this and this and this." You know, we're currently starting to see this. I mean, we've seen it, you know, from South African point of view today. We've seen it from the U.S. I mean, the U.S. initial jobless claims that came out. I mean, you know, when we look at, you know, the number of American filings or new claims for unemployment, you know, rose by 17,000 to 240,000, which is way, way above the expected 225,000. This is new layoffs. This is people being laid off. And they said this is boosted by the wave of layoffs in the tech companies. Now, we've had that discussion. Not going to have that again. But when you see people being laid off, and I don't think this is necessarily the end of a cycle. We're only now seeing this from a U.S. point of view. You know, when are these, you know, they call it central banks are going to look at this and say, oh boy, we're in trouble.
We were behind the curve before. We don't want to get behind the next curve.
Correct.
Which is, you know, it's ridiculous. What was the company that announced 4,000 to 6,000 layoffs? It wasn't Dell. It was it
Amazon,
HP?
Amazon.
Was it Hewlett-Packard? Came out with something today. I know Amazon is laying off 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And obviously Zuckerberg's mob have done it a couple of weeks ago. But there was something. But anyway, the point is that the big employers have suddenly become big layers off.
Correct. Correct. And if you get, you know, more pressure on the consumer, because that those tech companies, you know, they need the ads. They need, you know, the Amazons need the consumer to be buying, to be ordering stuff. And we've seen the credit card debt. I mean, that was just, to me, that was the exact reason why. I mean, debt. I mean, the U.S. personal debt that you know, rose the highest since 2008. When you look at their credit card debt, now this is the most important one. This is the figures that came out last week. I mean, the credit card debt increased 15% in one quarter. Now, just to put that in perspective, that is the highest jump in 20 years for the year. So what is that telling us? It's just telling us that the typical U.S. consumer is going to the gas station and he's not using, you know, the money that's currently in his bank because he doesn't have enough in his bank. So he's using his credit card to be buying, you know, gas. He's buying, he's using his credit card to be buying food, to buying medicine. I mean, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing while we're seeing layoffs. So I think that's the negative. So when will central banks start flinching and say, wait. We know where this is going. Are we going to just go straight into this? Or are we going to start taking the foot off the accelerator in terms of interest rates? Are we going to start be as aggressive as we've been? And I think they're not. I think eventually they're going to say, wait, let's just you know, just for a second, just wait and see where this goes.
I think that there's a conundrum here for you again as a money manager on behalf of your clients at PSG Wealth. You have to say to yourself, that's great news, because inflation has peaked in many people's opinions and our opinion. We've had our 2-day meeting to discuss that. Okay, which is good news. So therefore, we should be positioning ourselves for stocks that benefit from lower inflation and lower interest rates. On the other hand, there'll be some clever chap to your right who'll say, but wait a second, that means that they know there's a recession coming, and recession is bad for the stock market. So how do you play this, Skulk? It's a fascinating conundrum you have.
So let's first take the recession part, because that's the easy one. Now there's different indicators, you know, one can use to forecast a recession. Now, yes. Now remember, forecast, the word forecast implies that you are still got a certain amount of, I don't want to use the word guessing because it's not that. It's not a certainty, you're just forecasting. Now, when you look at, you know, for instance, we've got the yield curve inversions. That's where some people use the US 10-year yield and the 2-year yield. When the 2-year yield goes above the 10-year yield, then it's negative and effectively inverted. We know that the 2-year is running at the largest negative in I would say 20 years, and the 3-month and 10-year already, you know, slightly dipped into negative territory. So what that is telling us or indicating already is that we're going to go into recession. When we've seen the latest GDP data from South Africa, from the US, from the Euro, hell, from the UK, you know, it's been a lot worse. We know that the GDP is already contracting. So, you know, I don't think any money managers out there is looking at the probability of a recession and say, well, I think it's low, so that's why I'll only position myself for a recession when we get there. Hell, we're there. We're there. So I do think a lot of these money managers, and that, in my personal opinion, is why we've seen the drop off, you know, up to August, September, where we've seen the lows in the markets, where everybody realized that most countries are going to go into recession, you know, next year, or the probability of a recession next year is extremely high. And that's why we've seen the drop off. And I think people are starting to look through this fog and saying, well, if we're going to just get through this, you know, I think, you know, we might get closer to some sort of peak. Now the next question will be, would this be the final peak, or could we see a double movement, you know, second drop?
You're overthinking it now, Skunk. You're starting to overthink the markets, but I understand, because what I'm seeing on my screen and what I'm hearing from central bankers are in direct conflict with each other. So let's have a look at the markets now, if we can. But a good analysis, by the way, on inflation, and I look forward to what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
In the next few months. It is going to be fun. It's going to be great fun. The dollar rand is 17.04. British pound against the rand is 20.49. Euro rand is 17.65. Euro dollar 103.55. Big turnaround. The dollar was getting a little bit of a pummeling from the euro buyers, and now completely the opposite. The euro is just over 1% higher at that 103.55 level. British pound against the US dollar. Look at this thing, 120. You know, when that mini budget came out, it was just about 103. It's now 120, 120.22 to be precise. What a massive rally for the pound over the last, I think, 12 weeks, actually. Yes. Gold price, this is boring. It's 17.41. The platinum unchanged. The platinum price 991, which is up $6 an ounce. And palladium is up $4 an ounce to 1874. Now let's talk about that oil price, the all important oil price, the all important inflation influencer. Let's put it that way. It's an influencer of interest rates and therefore inflation, the other way around. Brent crude oil is $84. It's just about to break $84.
Wow.
It's down 5%. Crude oil in the States, the West Texas, $76.81, down 5.1%. These are massive numbers. Whereas natural gas going in the opposite direction, nearly 10% higher. What else we got here? It's pretty boring on the bulk commodities. Wheat is down 1.3% on the agricultural side, but it's that oil price skull that is really, really interesting. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield 3.73%, the South African 10-year. After the Reserve Bank decision, before the Reserve Bank decision tomorrow on SA interest rates, 10.19, which is about 9 basis points weaker, I think. And Bitcoin, you have to look at that, 16,460, up 2%. What do you think the Reserve Bank's going to do on Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, like I said, recently we've seen most of the reserve banks, you know, with the exception, I think it was Canada or Australia that came out and came out a little bit lower. But I do think that they're going to stay the course, unfortunately. And they're going to be raising interest rates again. I think they're talking about 75 basis points. I don't think they're gonna deviate from that. Not after today's inflation numbers that slightly missed. Remember, they're more focused on getting inflation within this, let's call it 4 to 6% bands. That's their main mandate. And you know, unfortunately, the only tool that they've got is to raise and lower interest rates for that matter to keep it within those bands. Yeah, unfortunate thing is, I'm going to stick with consensus, but I do think that it's not necessarily going to be the right thing to do.
Okay, let's have a look at some of the JSC movers today, and you can intervene whenever you like when it comes to movers, because as you know, my screen is quite limited. I'm just going to get rid of a couple of the usual ones, which are distorted by thin volume. I've got Alphamin up 7.7%, Coronation after its results, which were sort of tepid results, I suppose, but today it's up 5.7%. Bidcorp up 4.9%, Northern Platinum up nearly 4%. On the downside, Redefine 4.2% in the red, Hammerson, another property company, doing badly, down 3%. Telkom, yeah, it's off its lows by a mile, but still 2.25% weaker. And another property company, Mass, down 2.22%. What else have you got on your screen, Skulk?
So just on your Redefine, that's an
ex-dividend.
So 19.2 cents. So that's a 19. And you mentioned the Grignard Shipping. I mean, they are down, you know, close to 13%. But also just note that was an ex-div after a special dividend.
Oh. You
know, 86.37 rand, a special dividend that they paid. So actually, when you look at the, let's call it the 58 rand that it lost today, it's actually still positive today. So yeah. It
wasn't, oh. Oh, I see. So that's the 23% that I saw on my screen an hour and a half ago was an ex-special dividend story.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct. Correct.
That's why I'm not in your business.
But still was well spotted. Well spotted. Yeah, this market I thought was the volumes. It is turkey season out there, people. It's like,
I did.
And it's been turkey season for the past, you know, few days. You know, you can see the volumes, not just, you know, globally, but specifically South Africa, you know, 16 billion on Friday, you know, 17 billion on Monday, you know, 18 billion yesterday, and today was no different, you know, 17 billion traded today. I don't foresee that, you know, changing, at least not tomorrow, because we know tomorrow is actually, Thanksgiving.
So it'll be quiet tomorrow and quiet on Friday because it's Black Friday. You'll be going down to your local shopping center and buying things that aren't really cheaper but are promoted to be cheaper because a survey that has been quite a decent survey, actually, by a company, a magazine or organization called Which. They do Which Cars, Which This, Which That. And they say only one in seven Black Friday deals are better than any other time of the year, and in fact, most are actually worse, but they're packaged nicely as Black Friday. So be careful out there, Skulk.
Psychological.
Of course it is.
I think, and the other thing that stood out for me today, and I think you'll like this specifically because I know you love them.
Go on, then.
Man United shares. You know,
I don't love Man United. Market.
Yeah, you do, man.
Come on. No, I don't. I can't stand Man United.
Everyone is a closet red jersey owner. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Man United shares jumped US pre-market trading after the owners of the historic English
football club. The Glazers.
Yep, that's correct. Exploring options that could lead to a sale. I wonder if it's got anything to do with Ronaldo.
It's got nothing to do with that. It's got a lot to do with the fact that Liverpool are up for sale as well. They're just around the corner. They're also owned by Americans. Manchester United have said, well, if you're doing it, then we can do it as well. Everyone hates us in Manchester, which they do. They can't stand the Glazer family. But the interesting thing is that they bought them for $1 billion. I think it was 2005. It's probably going to go for about $2 billion. So they've doubled their money in, 16, 17 years? Is that good enough, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, no. We know that we've had a period of very low inflation and a period of, you know, pretty much in one stage, you know, negative rates. So one should look at that. But, I mean, that's a long period to double up your money. I don't think it was a good investment.
And it may be Black Friday, but Liverpool and Manchester United both wear red, and they're associated with the colour red. And if you look at the significance of the colour red in China, it's all to do with joy and abundance and prosperity. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those clubs, or even both of them, are snapped up by Chinese buyers, because these are two of the biggest brands in the world, sporting-wise. So anyway, thank you for bringing that up. Give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, Scott.
So the JSE closed today at 72,891 points. That is up just shy of 1%, to be exact, 0.9%. Resources had a pretty solid day, you know, like any other resources out there globally, 1.85% in the green. Industrials up 0.72% and financials up 0.35%. Now, there's a few people that follow the top 40. The JSE top 40 closed today at 66,522 points. That's up 1.01%. And when we look at the US, we know it's going to be quiet there, but it's not Thanksgiving yet. But being as that maybe NASDAQ's up over 1%, 1.1%. S&P 500, that is currently trading 60 basis points in the green, trading over 4,028 points to be exactly. And the Dow Jones, a little bit lagging, but still green, 27 basis points. Currently trading at 34,190 points.
Skulklo, thank you very much for your input this evening, as always. Skulklo is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak Division in Cape Town. He'll be back with me next Wednesday. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.